जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
द फॉलोइंग इज एन इनिशिएशन लेक्चर बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी महाराज delivered on 24th of June 2016 in Washington, D.C.
Gopi jana bala bhai Jwala dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
There are two programs going on at the same time. One is the program in the hall. It appears, and it's like my golden jubilee wedding anniversary. In Kaliyuga, it's quite an achievement, golden jubilee. Am I right?
Yes.
Kaliyuga, the diamond rate getting higher all over the world, including India. It's quite an achievement to celebrate golden jubilee. And we have this initiated assembly going on in the temple group. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explains as follows to the potatoes. The translation is, a civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and then birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth called Yagika takes place when one is given the opportunity. to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for hearing such words, even if one gets a lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities will be mundane and spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. So, now the money is explaining. It seems like human birth can have three births. In our day-to-day life, when you talk of the word civilized, you talk being somebody who dressed to wear nice clothes, someone who's wearing a fancy watch, driving a fancy car. But in the scriptures, what civilized means, one who is pursuing the goal of human life. So, now let me explain to the preachers. The Prachitas were the sons of King Prachita Maharaja, and they had performed extensive austerities. And because of these austerities, Narada Muni came and gave them instructions. Narada Muni says, how many births can one realize? Three births. The first birth is called Shukra Janma. Shukra in Sanskrit means semen. So Shukra Janma means birth as a result of seminal discharge. And this birth is common to human beings and to animals. Animals also take birth as a result of seminal discharge, and human beings also. So just to realize Shukra birth and die is no big achievement. The second birth is realized when one gets initiated into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In our Krishna conscious movement, one gets initiation, other one has successfully chanted 16 hours for a period of time, at least a year and a half, and one has and agrees to follow four regulative principles. No meat, fish and eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex life, no gambling. So when one does agree to follow this and have followed this, then it gets initiation. And this is the second book. What is the second book called? The third birth is realized when one gets initiated in the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. This initiation is also known as Brahmicala initiation. And after receiving Brahmicala initiation, one becomes eligible to cook for the deities, dress the deities, offer adi to the deity. So the third one is realized when one gets initiated in heavenly hearing clearly the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, and this is called Yajika Janma. So in the initiation ceremony today, some candidates are getting initiated in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. This is the second birth. And because it is the second birth, in the time of initiation, they get a spiritual name. And some candidates are getting their second initiation, Brahmanical initiation, or the third birth of Yajika. In the scripture, it is said that the chanting of the holy name is beneficial in all situations. But if we want to get full benefit of the chanting of the holy name, then one should learn to chant, avoiding these offenses. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita was compiled by the great devotee Krishnadas Kaviraj, and in this great scripture, the pastime and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are described. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Bahu Janma Karaya Ishavana Ketana, Bahutana Paya Krishna Padipyamana. One may go on chanting the holy names of the Lord, birth after birth, but unless he avoids the offenses, he will not be able to do the love of God. So our acharyas have identified 10 offenses that we should endeavor to avoid. And if we endeavor to avoid them, we will get full benefit of chanting the holy name. These offenses are important. And sometimes we think that, oh, these offenses are only for the new bhaktas. They are for the new and the old. That's why in most of the ISKCON temples, we recite the 10 offenses every morning. So that whether you are an old bhakta or a new bhakta, you get reminded about the importance of avoiding these offenses. So we just briefly discuss this. We have quite a few other topics to discuss. One is the blasphemy of the devotees of dedicated lives. Blasphemy of the devotees of dedicated lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Sanatana Goswami, that the beautiful garden of devotional service can be spoiled if a mad elephant is allowed to come in. You may have a very nicely decorated room, but if you let some children play over there, everything will get destroyed. So similarly, the gains of chanting the holy name can be spoiled or minimized if we offend Vaishnavas. So this is also known as a mad elephant offense. Especially we should be careful that we don't criticize or blaspheme Vaishnavas with envy, hatred, jealousy, etc. If we do have something constructive to point out, it can be done in a very humble way. But we should avoid actions my envy. In our scriptures, there are so many examples of how those who acted out of envy and to face severe reactions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding a Hainam Kirtan in the house of Srivas Pandit every day. One Brahmin, his neighbor, was very envious. He said, Srivas is getting so much mercy. Lord Chaitanya is drinking Kirtan every day in his house. And he planted paraphernalia for worshipping Durga in front of Shiva's book. He wanted to convince the society Shiva is not a genuine devotee of Krishna, but a devotee of Durga. And Shiva, when he saw that, he said, neighbors, come and see. I was cheating all of you. I'm a devotee of Durga, not Krishna. Nobody believed it. This individual, this Brahman, got affected by what? Leprosy. And went on suffering, till he was finally pardoned. So there are many examples, but the point you're trying to make is we should avoid blasphemy of Vaishnavas and criticism instigated by envy. Next is to consider the names of demigods, like Brahma or Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were all brought up in the atmosphere, including myself. All gods are one. Take any path, the result is the same. So after we came to Krishna consciousness, we got introduced to your authentic presentation, which establishes Krishna as the Supreme. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachinanda Vigraha, Ananda Vigraha, Sarvakarma Karma. The many controllers, Krishna remains the Supreme, is the cause of all causes. So the scripture's conclusion is Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They are demigods and goddesses, but they are all subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Sometimes people question us, why, when the demigods get angry with us, we don't worship them and give all our attention to Krishna? The answer is no. They'd be more pleased with us because they themselves acknowledge that Krishna is the Supreme. Just like when you water the root of the tree, you nourish all the branches and leaves. Similarly, by worshipping Krishna, the source of everything, you also discharge our obligation to the demigods and goddesses. Therefore, we should have no doubt that worshipping Krishna satisfies all the demigods also. And at no point do we think that the demigods are equal to or independent the holy name of the Lord Vishnu. Third, they should determine the instruction of the spiritual master or consider him to be an ordinary person. The scriptures recommend that to make spiritual advancement, one should accept shelter and guidance from a bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, as a first step, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Serve him. Get initiated. And then inquire, how can you make spiritual advancement? And if you have to give up something, give it up. And be determined to make spiritual advancement. So, spiritual master's desire is that the disciple get attached to the holy name and make spiritual advancement. In the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami gives the qualification of the spiritual master. Vacha Vega Manasa Krodha Vega, Jiva Vega Vega Mudhava Vega. The spiritual master must have control over the body, mind, and senses. It's not that he himself is addicted to sense enjoyment and giving the disciples their instructions. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, the devotee must, by his behavior, convey the meaning of religious principles. So the spiritual master's desire, his duty is to practice what he preaches and to present the Vedic philosophy as it is, without any distortion. Prabhupada, as he found in Charya of his time, gave us the real truth, and he gave us the real message. And that's why we see people all over the world practicing Krishna consciousness. So the spiritual master's instructions are based on a Vedic text, based on the teaching of the people, the Acharyas, and we follow those teachings and make spiritual doctrine. The desire of the spiritual master is the disciple get attached to the holy name. So the disciple should not think, my spiritual master will flatter me, and if he corrects me, then I'll reject him. I should not be moved. My mood should be, I need direction, I need correction. And we should be respectful to all the senior devotees serving the Lord, not just the spiritual master. Sometimes people have the concept, I'll just serve the Guru and nobody else. We should serve all the senior masters. And we should recognize that Prabhupada, the founder of Charya of ISKCON, as a very, very unique position. And he's the founder of Charya, the supreme Siksha Guru for everyone in this movement. The next is, that's in the Vedic literature, or literature in person of the Vedic version. Vedas were compiled by the Lord who incarnated as Vyasadeva. And the Vedic message is for entire humanity. The word Veda means knowledge. So to think that the Vedic message is outdated, not relevant in today's environment, beneath the modern philosophy, is actually a great offense. You know, as I hope say, the Vedic message is for entire humanity, Amita Parapada, and is eternally true. Therefore, it is also known as Anatta Dharma. Next is, consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. The chanting of the Hare glories of a holy name is not in imagination. In the scripture it is said, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalona Seva, Naseva, Naseva, Eva Gati Naseva. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. Prakshin Maharaj question, Srila Goswami, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? Srila Goswami said, Kali Dosina the Rajas, O King, Kali Yuga is full of vices. But there is one meditation in this age, and that is the chanting of the holy name. So this chanting of the holy name is the medium through which you can attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For us to think, no, Hare Krishna is not so powerful, besides Hare Krishna, I need other mantras also, that is an offense. Then you give some interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. The holy name is a prayer to the Lord. Please may I be engaged in devotional service. Next is to commit sin on the sin of chanting. For an individual to think, I'm now initiated, I got initiated in the Radha Mother Mount Temple, now so many of my sins have all been burnt, and now I'm chanting 16 rounds, I can also commit sinful activity, and the Lord will pardon me, that is a great offense. Our goal should be no more sinning. We don't think that because I'm Brahmin initiated, Sannyas initiated, I can do some nonsense activity, and Krishna will have to pardon me. our endeavor should be no more sinning. Just like for Shivaraj, God fasting. We fast from sinful activities. Then, if it's in the chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra, when you ask for the ritualistic activity, offer in the way that that's good activity. So this chanting of the holy name is not karma kanda. Karma kanda is a sort of business transaction with the Lord. I will do this, but in exchange I want this benefit. When we chant the holy name, we're actually praying, please let me get your devotional service. In second phase, this person was adoring to the holy name, the nine friends. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jarendata Dayaka Krishna Pradesh. So what you see, he's telling about the holy name. So we tell everyone, we introduce the holy name to everyone. The deep meaning may be explained under the person as well as some element of faith in the holy name. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. We should have full faith in the chanting of the holy name in the medium through which we can attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the scriptures we read about do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. The scriptures have very clearly defined the path of devotional service for us and identified what is an obstacle, what's not. But I'm initiated, I'm chanting, but I still maintain all the material attachments, that's an impediment. That's like when you can identify it with a disease, then even if you have some attachments, you have to give it up. Suppose you can identify with diabetes as a disease. Even if you're fond of sweets, you'll have to give it up to survive. So similarly, the scriptures identify what's desirable, what's undesirable. And with the help of the spiritual master and other saintly people, we understand what's desirable and what's not. And we should avoid what is detrimental. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, and the process of surrendering to the Lord, accept what is favorable, and reject what is unfavorable. And that should be our goal. Then, another important factor is we should be attentive in chanting the holy name. The holy name, as we know, is not different from the Lord. Any mundane name is different from its substance. Let's say you're thirsty, you want water. When you say water, 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 your thirst is not going to be quenched. Nor is your hunger going to be satisfied by saying food, food, food. But because the holy name is identical with the Lord, when you chant the holy name, the Lord is there, right there. When you chant the holy name, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. So when we chant the holy name, we should be very respectful to the holy name. Just like if you're talking to an important personality, you're respectful and attentive. You don't talk to an important personality and do 10 other jobs at the same time. So similarly, when we sit down to chant our rounds, we all have prescribed number of rounds. We chant 16 rounds every day. And God has seen the special days, we chant 25. So when we sit down and chant, we should be attentive. That means, at least when you're chanting your prescribed round, try and hear what you're chanting. Not that I'm hearing what I'm chanting, answering phones, reading the papers, cooking, You got a parent at the same time. And the result is going to be more attentively gated will be the effect of the chanting. What is the effect of the chanting? Chaitanya-saprabhajanam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the first verse of the Shishasana, by chanting the holy name, the heart will get cleansed of lasting greed, envy, hatred, etc. And we will be able to dwell a higher place. So we hope that all the candidates accepting initiation into the chanting the holy name will be very attentive and endeavor to make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada labored hard and wrote these books. Prabhupada translated nearly 80 books into English, which have been further translated in more than 75 languages of the world. Today, devotees all over the world are reading the Bhagavatam, Gita, etc. So, we should also make it a point to study these books. Prabhupada encouraged us to read these books. He encouraged us to distribute these books. But he also encouraged us to study these books. Prabhupada said, when Krishna sees you reading his books, he gets very pleased. So we hope that all the candidates for setting initiation will also regularly read Prabhupada's books. And these books are available in every international and regional language. Because by reading these books, knowledge will get sharper. And this ceremony today, see, some candidates are also accepting initiation in the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. Brahminical initiation is normally awarded after one has done the Bhakti Shastri course, one has displayed certain level of spiritual maturity, one has displayed good behavior, and one has spiritual knowledge. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes what should be the qualities of a Brahmana. Krishna in text 42 of the 18th chapter says, Samodhamudhavasocham shantirajamevacha jnana-vijnana-vastikyam brahma-karma-samapajam. A Brahman should be peaceful in nature. And we can be peaceful in nature if we are single-pointed on achieving the goal of life. Often, our mind is not peaceful. The main reason is we have many goals. I want spiritual life and I want material life. If we are single-pointed, we'll be more happy. Then, namo, self-control. Brahman must have control over his senses. We don't become slave of our senses, but to advance spiritually, we need to control our mind and senses. Then, purity. Prabhupada often said, purity is a force. So purity is attained through good sadhana, chanting, etc. And a Brahman must be pure in his mind. As we know, the Vedas talk about varna and ashrama, and we have Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana. The Brahmana is considered to be the head of the society. In countries like India, the Brahmanical order lost respect. Where people were Brahmins, not acting like Brahmins. As Prabhupada desired, that everyone in his common common Brahman is a genuine Brahman. So he must have self-control. Then tapo. Tapo means austerity. Austerity is the ornament to which we decorate ourselves. And austerity is real wealth or transcendental bliss. Briefly, austerity means avoid doing those activities that are detrimental the spiritual development. Then the Brahman must be tolerant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dinada Visami Chena Sura Visayana Avanya Manadina Dinada Visayana. So Brahman will be tolerant. In material life, there will be challenges, dualities, heat and cold, victory and defeat. So we should be tolerant in all situations. Not that we get disturbed a moment in some agitation. Then a Brahman will be honest. You can't be a Brahman and be a professional liar. You can't be a Brahman and just keep on talking. A Brahman will be honest. And honesty begins with being honest to the teaching of the Supreme Lord. Then he must have wisdom and knowledge. Generally, knowledge is cultivated by studying these books. And this knowledge should be applied in practice. So we hope that those who are taking Brahman initiation will be genuine Brahman, live up to the expectation, and they will be eligible to serve the deities. Hope will serve the deities. So we sincerely hope that those candidates getting initiated today will stand and will cultivate spiritual knowledge, practice what they preach, be good examples in society, and convey a strong message, a good message of Krishna consciousness. As most of you probably know, we are also celebrating the 50th anniversary of what? ISKCON Corporation. Last year we celebrated the 15th anniversary of Prabhupada's departure from India. Prabhupada sailed on the Jaladuta on August 30, 1965, with only 40 rupees in his pocket. 40 rupees at that time were equal to about $7. That's all he had. But he had firm faith that Lord Chaitanya's prediction will come true one day. And he wanted to execute his Guru's order. And so Prabhupada sailed from India on August 30, 1965, arrived in Boston on 17th September 65, arrived in New York on the 19th September 65, and then went to New York to start his worldwide movement. Prabhupada had to struggle very intensively. He didn't have any permanent residence. He was moving from one location to another. Once he was staying for some time in the ashram of a doctor from India who was running a yoga ashram. He was very happy to have Prabhupada in his ashram. And when he saw that his students were getting attracted to Prabhupada's kirtan and philosophy, he very politely told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you better start your own ashram. In other words, please be my ashram. So Prabhupada had to struggle. He went to Tompkins Square Park, started his kirtan, and then finally he got Krishna sent him some nice disciples, and they prepared to open the first temple in New York in July 1966. That location where they first opened the temple was previously a boutique, and the name of that boutique was National Gift. The tenants located it completely, but I forgot to rub that sign off the glass on the window. The only thing is that very appropriate, the Krishna consciousness is a Master's gift. And then the first temple was opened. And then Prabhupada at the same time wanted to organize and legalize worldwide society. Even when Prabhupada was struggling, he had full faith that one day there will be hundreds of temples around the world, hundreds of devotees around the world. Prabhupada, when he was in New York, he was sitting on a bench once, and there was a bus conductor sitting next to him. So the bus conductor asked Prabhupada, what is your mission? Prabhupada said, to preach, temples are there, devotees are there, only time is separating them. So Prabhupada, being a pure devotee, had full faith in his Guru's instruction. And then Prabhupada wanted to establish a worldwide society. When he was about to form a society, many people said, call this International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, that's too vague. We call that International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So on July 13, 1966, in the city of New York, which is not far from Washington, Prabhupada registered ISKCON. And this year, temples around the world are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of what?
ISKCON
Incorporation. Golden Jubilee in the life of any spiritual movement is a good achievement, especially in Kali Yuga. You see that after the founder Acharya leaves the planet, everything ends up in litigation. The Prabhupada ISKCON has not only survived, but greatly expanded. So we have been holding different programs around the world. And we had a program in Calcutta last year to celebrate Prabhupada's departure from India, the Golden Jubilee, which was attended by about 30,000 people. And we just had a big program in Delhi on the 28th of May, which was attended by 8,000 people, celebrating the incorporation of ISKCON. So I believe we have a very nice program planned for the city of Washington. Is Washington lag behind other cities?
No.
Washington is the capital of which country? Which country? Burma?
America.
Okay. They say it's the only superpower in the world. One time there were two superpowers. Now they say there's only one, the China capital. So, this is the capital of the most important city in the world. And so therefore, we should also have a very nice program. So there's a very nice program planned for September 13th at Wick. At the Capitol Hill Center, on
2 blocks from the White House.
So the kitchen is loud enough, it will just sound when we reach the White House. We just need to put good speakers. So there's a very nice program planned for September 13 at the Capitol Center, 2 blocks from the White House. And it would be nice if all of you actively get involved in realizing that project. Any project that we do in ISKCON, we can conceive of the project, but the ultimate success of the project depends upon the enthusiasm of the devotee. So I just wanted to remind everyone about the importance of this event. And I believe Tulsi Baba, who is the U.S. Congress woman for 2 terms. I don't know the 3rd term she won, I don't know. She's coming to the function. Amrish is almost coming. And several other dignitaries are going to be contacted. It would be nice if all of you can actively get involved in this project. You think we should do this project or no?
Yes.
Anyone think so?
Yes.
Only one person is here.
Haribol!
Okay. So I'm sure the temple is looking for support. If you like the work, you can actually participate and support and make it a success. This will be a good achievement. And there's going to be a joint Congress people and an important interview. Please help make this program a success. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.